are listening to the hymn we're going to be taking a look at today, O Sons and Daughters of the King. It's an Easter hymn. And with us is our good friend who's falling asleep here because he was so busy last week. Hi, Pastor Mark Smith.
No, I'm not falling asleep. I'm looking out at this Good Friday-like weather out here. Boy.
Oh.
It's
dark.
It's dark.
Yeah, we just had a tornado alert. So that's why it's really good to be in the International Center of the Lutheran Church.
It sure is, yes.
God would not destroy his temple, would he? What are those guys who look like Romans walking down the... Yeah, there is no safe place, is there?
No, but I'll tell you what, if a tornado hits, I'd like to be here.
I'd like to be... in the basement.
Yes, there too.
Right now, we're right at the front door.
All this glass.
Oh, boy. Okay, at least I'm protected by monitors. But. All right. How was your Passion Week and Easter?
It was very good. It's a busy time, but it's a great time. And the services went well. I'm always pleased when the services go well.
And you had
everybody liked the Good Fridays. Yeah, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Tenebrae, and of course Easter Sunday, and they all went quite well.
You didn't have a Saturday?
Did not have a Saturday service,
okay.
No.
Yeah.
One thing strange happened, let me tell you, in fact, a couple things happened, Sunday morning of all times, Easter.
Yes.
My clock died on me. My watch, rather. And all of a sudden, everybody was in the service, you know, and I thought, boy, they're all early this morning. And I wasn't even in my robes yet. And straight up 9 o'clock when we're supposed to start. Can you imagine that of all days for this to happen?
No.
Ushers helping me get my robes straight and everything. And then later on, after the service, I got stuck in the elevator trying to get downstairs for the Easter breakfast.
Oh, no. You use the elevator?
Well, normally not, but I was trying it out for somebody else. I didn't want anyone else getting stuck, so I got stuck.
Boy.
And everybody wondered, where's Pastor? Where's Pastor? You know, the Easter breakfast is going. Well, they finally got me out, yes.
Oh, boy.
So those two strange things happened, Easter Sunday, yeah.
No, the only strange thing that happened is that... we had the Lord's Supper, which is really strange.
Yes, that is.
It's almost a miracle. In fact, it is a miracle.
It is a miracle, absolutely.
That's what. You're lucky that you're a full-time pastor. Wait till you retire. I had 8 worship services. I did Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Well, you're just such a popular preacher, Tom.
No, they Everybody's didn't know I was preaching.
That shock value, just everybody loves.
I started off the Easter sermon. You know, it was pretty good. They all got the wrong answer, and then, but they had an Easter breakfast, which was nice. This, by the way, was in Zion, Lincoln, Illinois.
Lincoln, Illinois. That, as I said earlier, that was a little bit of a drive. You had to leave, about 4:30 in the morning,
right,
to get there in time for the breakfast.
Yeah, so why even go to bed? You know,
I bet the breakfast was delicious.
Yes, and somebody told them I liked eggs, so they had 3 casseroles of eggs, and. And then they gave me really gooey bread things, you know, to take home, you know, for Louise. But by the time I got home, they were just
gone.
About gone. Yeah. Yeah, because I didn't want them to melt, you know. And well, be that as it may. O Sons and Daughters of the King. This is a text, and I was arranged by Jean Tisserand. I never heard of him before.
Sounds French.
It could be, especially if you go down to the next line, it says, tune French. Very good, Mark.
Well, that name Jean is what gave it away.
Jean. Well, I could have said John.
Jean Tisserand.
Yes. And he died in 1494.
Yes, I know. So, it's an old hymn.
Sure. So it would have been close... Luther died in what? 1546, I think.
Yeah, I think
this was 1494.
Yeah. Yeah, about 50 years before.
Right, plus what had happened 2 years before? In 1492,
Columbus discovered
the ocean blue.
Yes, right.
Yeah. I'll remember.
I wonder if he heard about that news.
Columbus,
before he died.
Oh, I don't know. I imagine so. Oh, you may be right.
I don't know. You know, by, years, you know, there was there was a while where they didn't know.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they didn't know what they discovered.
Thought they went off the end of the earth.
Sure.
And then, of course, you also had the problem the cell phones weren't very good then. Okay. Will you please read? Now, there's two tunes to this. We heard the one that started, Alleluia, Alleluia. We'll use the other one because the Alleluia is at the end. But it doesn't really matter because the words are the same. So stanza one, please.
Yeah, there's plenty of Alleluias in this hymn, that's for sure. O sons and daughters of the King, whom heavenly hosts in glory sing, today the grave has lost its sting. Alleluia. Three of them.
Yes. So, O sons and daughters of the King, to whom is that being referred to?
It's talking to all of us. It's right? I've always taken that to mean it's giving the good news to everybody. O sons and daughters of the King, all believers.
Believers.
Well, that's what I meant.
Well, how do we know that?
Who else would be singing this hymn but believers?
Well, you said that refers to everyone.
Well, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just...
You cut me some slack this Tuesday after Easter.
Okay, yeah. He's still sleeping. Okay, it does... Yeah, to be a son and daughter of the King, how does that occur?
Well, by baptism.
Yes, yes. And the analogy that's been used is adoption.
Right.
Yeah, very, very important. This has a really important line in it. Today the grave has lost its sting. What does that mean?
Has lost its sting. You know, he's taking the sting out of death.
Yes.
He's reduced it to a shadow.
Yes.
It can no longer separate us from Christ.
Okay. I am reminded immediately of 1 Corinthians 15. At a funeral, at the burial, this is usually spoken of. It says, death is swallowed up in victory.
Oh, death, where is your victory?
Oh, death, where is your sting?
Yes.
Now, we really need to understand what the sting of death is. The sting of death is sin. That's really important. The way I do this, would you prefer to be bitten by a mosquito or by a bumblebee?
Scorpion.
Scorpion's good, too.
Scorpion.
Yeah, scorpion. That's good.
I'll take the mosquito. I'll take my chances with
that's right.
A West Nile virus, and I'll take the mosquito.
Now, the thing is that what changes is not sin, but the power of sin.
Yeah.
And what is the power of sin?
Is the law.
That's really well said. What do we mean by that? Well, what law is the power of sin? It's that promise God made, in the day that you sin, death will be the result. That's the curse of the law. Sin in and of itself is no big deal. No, because what is sin? Now stop and think about it. Sin is disobedience against, you know, the original intent of God. So let's say a lion eats a human being. Guess what? The lion doesn't go to hell.
Okay.
You see?
Yeah.
Because there is no sting to his sin. There's only sting to two parts of creation. Angels and?
Human beings.
Very good. So, if the power of sin is the law, what Jesus did, this is really important because it's the difference between every other religion in the world and Christianity. In every other religion in the world, you get right with God by getting rid of your sin. In Christianity, we get right with God by getting rid of the curse of the law. In fact, there was a pastor on this morning and on the Bible study. I can't recall his name, but he was very good.
From Conover, North Carolina, right?
Yeah, I think
Right.
And he was talking about...
he was very good.
The Old Testament ceremonial laws didn't forgive sins at all. You know, he was talking about
the scapegoat and all that.
But he told this one story about a lady who could get words from God. And somebody came up to her and said, okay, I want you to tell me the sin that I have that I'm really worried about. And we'll see if you get information from God. And so about a week later, she came back and I heard from God. And the person says, what did he say? And she said, God forgot what your sin is.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the new covenant. I will no longer remember your sin.
No more.
It's not the memory, because God's omniscient.
Right.
You can't forget.
Right.
It's that he's not going to get even.
That's right. Right.
So when you remember somebody has done something bad against you, you want to get even. If you forget it, you don't get even. Yeah, we talked.
Now that's good. You know, that's a good way of remembering that. Remembering.
Yes.
No pun intended. But that is a good way to remember it, because people are bothered by it. How can God forgive? I will remember your sins no more. And say it again. Explain that one more time for
us. The best way to teach it is to use an analogy. Two kids are fighting.
Yeah.
One hits the other.
Yeah.
The guy who gets hit says, I'm going to remember that.
Yeah, right.
What does he mean?
I'm going to get even.
Yes.
Okay, so that's what it means, is God is not going to get even. He's not going to keep the score.
Yes. In fact, if you go to Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats, when he remembers his people, he what? He gives them blessings. If he forgets people, he puts them under the curse.
Curse.
And if you take a look, the sheep are blessed. The goats are cursed. So the only way that God remembers are those, O sons and daughters of the king. Those, as you said, the believers. The believers alone. And that's why it's so important. But this is huge. In fact, I talked about it a bit in the Easter sermon. No, it was a Bible study. And this was kind of fun. I was talking about, God has certain will that he wants to be done, but you don't have to do it
right
in order to be saved, because you're saved by grace through faith. And somebody said, you mean I don't have to, and then he said what we were talking about, and I said no. He said, oh, that's hard to believe that God doesn't expect me to do it. And I said, are you a father? He said, yes. I said, yes. So you tell your kids that they'll get free food and everything if they cut the lawn, if they do the dishes, if they clean their room, et cetera, et cetera, right? No. I love them. Well, give God that much credit. The best way to teach is to use an analogy that people are well aware of, where they do agree with you. So when, and by the way, this remember and forget is found in the Old Testament too, that God does this. That was probably saying the weather is getting worse.
What did you
worse.
Say wrong, Tom?
Yes. That's a sign from God. He already forgot. Don't have to worry. But that's what forgiveness is. He forgets it. The way I like saying it is, he no longer holds you
accountable.
Yes, because he held his son accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best news. That's what Easter is all about. In fact, that's what Good Friday is all about. My God, why have you
forsaken me?
And he did, because Jesus became sin for us. You know, we often think of Jesus on the cross as that innocent man, but the real vision we should have is he was the greatest sinner in the world at that point.
Well, it's like, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.
And yes.
He became cursed for us.
Yes.
He
bore
the curse for us in our stead.
In fact, Paul talks about that in Corinthians. He became sin for us that we might become the
righteousness of God
in him. Yes. Everything is in him.
Mm-hmm. Everything.
Yeah.
Even our election is in him.
Yes. Yes. Even our righteousness.
Mm-hmm. And the only thing that we can ever do anything for him is in him.
Yes. So I think that's really important to understand. That the sting of death is due to sin. But instead of a rattlesnake biting you, it's like a mosquito. It no longer has an impact on your salvation, because Jesus took the full weight. One of the examples I gave is a neighbor who just hates his other neighbor because he's so rich. He's got a nice car. He's got a nice house. He's got a tree, but the leaves fall in his yard. So he's really mad at him. So one day he's, leaving his garage, driving backwards out of his garage to the street, and he looks in his rear view, and there's his neighbor jumping up and down, waving his arms, the neighbor he hates. So he gets like, what do you want? What do you want? And what happens is that he goes to the back of the car, And the neighbor points, and there's his son sitting in the driveway. By the way, in St. Louis, a mother did run over her child last week.
Oh, you hear about that happening just last week, you said?
Yeah, it's just terrible.
Yeah.
But what do you think the attitude of that neighbor is now towards the guy who he hated, who just saved his son?
Oh, love him.
He will he'll go over and rake his leaves at his house.
Absolutely.
And I said, you've now understood Christianity.
Right.
Because Jesus did not stop you from running over. He got run over.
Yeah, that's right.
In the place of you.
The Lord shall provide, and he did.
He did. So it's important. I'm going to be starting a webinar pretty soon on how to write sermons and do Bible studies from a law gospel point of view. I got 7 ingredients, and I'm going to promise that if they follow these, and in fact, I will go, whoever joins this webinar, I'll go with them over a 4-week period in writing a sermon. And I'm going to guarantee that at the end of it, people will come out of the service and they'll say things like, you know, it sounded like you were just talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't happen, I'm going to give them all their money back.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's quite a promise.
Guarantee, rather. Yeah, because it's not me guaranteeing. It's a proper law and gospel approach. And if you do a proper law and gospel approach, we're going to get into that tomorrow with my 3 things about what I call exegesis, Emmaus, and ecclesia.
Exegesis, Emmaus, and ecclesia.
Yeah.
Well, Emmaus is that great Bible story.
Right.
Of course.
And to whom does Jesus point?
To Christ, to himself.
To himself. So exegesis is, this is what the text means. Emmaus is, this is where Christ is in the text.
That's right.
And
he's all over it.
Ecclesia is the way that you tell the church how it deals with them from a law gospel point of view.
Right.
So the law gospel doesn't come about till the 3rd.
And make it relevant. You know, people want it relevant. And I know not everybody likes that word.
No.
But you do apply it to their day-to-day life.
Yes. And what you're looking for is a response, I thought you were just talking to me personally.
Right.
You know,
that's right. That's what you want. That's what you like everybody to feel that way.
I tell you, put more work in a sermon than anything else, because even after it's written, now you got to go through and make sure the 7 items are in there and this sort of thing.
Well, that should be good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And by the way, I am doing another seminar at Emmanuel Olivet.
It's the 25th, isn't it?
Saturday. And people are asking, is Pastor Smith going to come again?
Oh, no, they're not.
Oh, yes, they are. Yeah, in my Bible study today, I guarantee you somebody will ask that. Because last week, we only had 5 people in a Bible study. Because they had a funeral, and a lot of them help out with the meal and stuff. So they said, you want to cancel? I said, no, and I just did something else. But I'm going to continue with the study on the Heidelberg today at 11 a.m.
Heidelberg Disputation.
9733 Olive Road, Emmanuel, Olivet. And 11 a.m., anybody is welcome. And if you want to join the seminar, it's 1 to 4:30 on a Saturday. And what you do, you go to lawandgospel101.com, and you can fill out the form. It's $10 per person, and you can do all that online. And if you fill it out ahead of time, you get 50% off any book. All right, stanza 2.
Yes. That Easter morn, at break of day, the faithful women went their way to seek the tomb where Jesus lay.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
At this point, we're just talking about history.
Mm-hmm.
There's no gospel here at all. It's just talking about the historical fact. And so the next verse is important. I'll read that. An angel clad in white they see, who sits and speaks to the 3, your Lord will go to Galilee. Now, is there any gospel there?
Yeah, the fact that, you know, he is alive.
He's alive.
And you'll see him in Galilee.
That's right. That's right. That's really important. Your Lord will go to Galilee. And the word Lord there, we would take as the name of God, because Jesus is God. Go to Galilee. All right, verse 4.
That night the apostles met in fear. Among them came their master dear and said, my peace be with you here. Hallelujah.
That is real gospel.
Right.
Because here they had fled from him. They had deserted him. One had betrayed him. No wonder when they hear that he's risen from the dead, they're cowering in fear. Right. Here he's coming back.
And they're afraid from the authorities, too.
Yes,
they're
afraid of the authorities, too.
Persecuted.
So what's the first word he says to them?
He says, my peace be with you here.
And what is that peace?
The peace that surpasses all understanding. It's the peace that, the peace, I know what he's saying, I'm not angry with you. I'm not disappointed with you. You've been reconciled with, I go to be with my God and your God, my Father and your Father. You've been completely reconciled.
And if you look at Corinthians where it talks about, it's, says God the Father is
right.
Reconciled.
That's right.
So the peace isn't referring that you're going to have a good life here
no,
on earth.
No, that's right. They'll all be, most of them will be martyred.
Yeah, except for John, traditionally.
But he's taking the sting out of death, see.
Okay, you know, what's my name?
Tom.
And last name?
Baker.
Yes, Thomas Baker. The only two guys in the Bible... Thomas is the doubter.
And the baker
is the guy that got killed
in the story of Joseph. Yes.
So my parents saw me and said,
What were your parents thinking?
I have no idea.
Well, you know, Thomas was a great apostle. He went all the way to India.
Yeah, that's what
began
it said.
The church in India.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
You bet.
Read verse 5, please.
When Thomas first, the tidings heard, that they had seen the risen Lord, he doubted the disciples' word. Hallelujah.
Again, history, and then go on to verse 6.
My pierced side, O Thomas, see, and look upon my hands, my feet, not faithless, but believing be. Hallelujah.
And then verse 7, really, no longer Thomas then denied. He saw the feet, the hands, the side, you are my Lord and God, he cried. There's no evidence that he touched Jesus.
That's kind of an ongoing debate, isn't it? You know, Jesus said, you know, put your finger here.
Yes.
In the nail prints of my hand.
Well, he said, unless I touch him.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And I've even seen some artwork. I've seen some moving paintings.
Really?
That show Thomas about to touch his side. So, I don't, you know, that was a debate. Professor Mollering,
yes, I
dealt
remember
with that whole
was, yeah.
question. Did he touch the wounds or did he not? Because some artwork does depict that.
Yes, yes. It's an open question. But then verse 8 and 9, if you'll read.
How blessed are they who have not seen and yet whose faith has constant been, for they eternal life shall win. Hallelujah.
And 9?
On this most holy of days, be laud and jubilee and praise. To God are your hearts and voices raise. Hallelujah.
So verse 8 is really critical. That blessed are those who haven't seen, but whose faith has constant been.
Ben, you said been.
No, it's got to rhyme with seen.
Okay.
So it's being.
All right. I'll humor you.
No. This was in the translation by John Mason
How
Neal.
Blessed are they who have not seen and yet whose faith is constant.
Been. Okay. That's the old King James way of saying it. Yes. For they eternal life shall ween. All right. You know why I don't translate now.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's really good that the faith of a child is as great as the faith of an adult.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. You know, it's like...
where do they get
it's
that
It's like
faith?
The coin of salvation is just as precious in the hand of a giant as it is in a child.
The coin faith, of salvation?
Faith like a mustard seed
can
save. If that person is, even on their deathbed, if they have the faith of a mustard seed.
Because the faith that saves is a faith that believes the promise.
Absolutely. And Jesus tells us, he says, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, a bruised reed he will not break.
Well, I did that in the sermon. I said, put your hand up if you are totally righteous. Nobody put their hand up. I said, well, then nobody's coming to communion. People,
I bet you see some gaping mouths when you preach.
Oh, I tell you, I love these questions. Unless you are totally sinless in God's eyes, you can't come to communion. So
worship services this week.
Yes, Saturday evening we'll have another Saturday service again. That's 5 p.m. Saturday evening at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, Crestwood, Missouri, and then Sunday morning at 9.
Okay, and I'm at Hope Lutheran Church in St. Ann, Missouri, both Saturday and Sunday. I'll talk a little bit more about that. Thanks so much for being with me, Pastor Mark. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.